Welcome to the Smart Dating Academy podcast. I'm Bella Gandhi, the founder of Smart Dating Academy and your host. I started Smart Dating Academy in 2009 because I had this crazy knack of giving people dating advice that actually worked, that I took. I've been married for almost 25 years, and now my company helps people to date smarter and to find love. This podcast is meant to bring more love into your life, no matter where you are and what you do. And we're here to bring more life into your love. Smart daters, welcome back to this week's podcast. I'm really excited to share this week's love story with you. It's one of my favorite stories, and it's a Chicago girl who I consider not just a client, but a friend. My pal, Monica Campbell-Jackson. She's now married, spoiler alert.
Now married, getting used to that new last name.
Yes. So welcome to the podcast. I'm so glad to have you.
I'm so glad to be here. I'm so sorry it took so long for this to happen, but this was when it was supposed to happen. So
this is when it was supposed to happen. And for those of you, tune in and listen with your good ears to this one, because so many of you think love has to happen right away. And the minute you start a dating process, if you become a Smart Dating client, that it has to happen right away. Bella, so many of the love stories, people just get on, they do their pictures, they meet somebody, they fall in love, boom. Why is it taking me a few years? So with that being said, Monica, you and I met in 2013.
Can't believe it. But yeah, 2013, I was just about to turn 40, something like that.
Right. And well, so tell us about you at that age. Like, what brought you to Smart Dating Academy? Kind of tell us your story. What was life growing up, life like growing up? And how did you end up in my way?
Yeah. Great question. And I'm so glad I ended up in your way, and that we're still friends after all this time.
But I love you.
I know, ditto. Grew up in Chicago, born and bred. It's only recently that I really start to appreciate the privilege of my growing up. You know, my parents were married over 50 years before my dad passed away. They had a loving relationship. You know, one of my cousins, I got married not too long ago, got married this year. And one of my cousins said to me, she said, "I'm so happy that you knew what love looked like from your parents." So it's like, oh, yeah. So I knew that, you know, and they weren't like all lovey-dovey, but they had a solid relationship. So, you know, working class, middle class upbringing, all the typical spoils of a little girl, dance lessons, piano lessons, so very well raised, very well rounded, and just had, you know, lots of good examples, even in my family. My aunts and uncles, married 50, now 60 years. So just really lots of good examples of love and commitment all around me.
I love that. And I'm just going to go here. You know, for so many of us that come in with our own kind of gender or cultural or racial stereotypes, they just, I tell people all the time, don't believe the hype, don't believe the terrorist statistics. So yeah. I love that you're talking about this beautiful model of love when so many people are not talking about having been raised with those models of love, but they exist and you had it.
Yeah, definitely did. My dad was very devoted. We got a chance to, like I said, before he passed away, celebrate or have a 50th wedding celebration. Like, who gets to do that, you know? And just how proud, you know, how proud he was, how proud they were, and just how proud me and my sister were. So yeah, super, super grateful for that upbringing.
And you, tell us about kind of your dating history. So, you know, you're a beautiful girl. So What was it like dating as young Monica? And then how did it turn into when you were an adult?
Young Monica, I wish I could just like shake her up a little bit, but at the same time, she's shaped who I am. She's still in there. But my parents were very very conservative Christians. So, I grew up with a lot of conservative Christian values. Absolutely nothing wrong with that, but it certainly shaped my approach to dating, right? And I was always, I won't say shy, but definitely very reserved when it came to dating. I had my share of boyfriends in high school. I could tell the funny story or I can come back to it, but my husband is a high school throwback. So he will say,
Oh.
I'll say he was, he's my college or my high school sweetheart. But he'll like, no, you didn't give me the time of day. We only dated for a few months.
And then she threw him to the curb.
Yeah, then I kicked it to the curb, and all of my youthful arrogance. But, I have fun. I have boyfriends. I went to prom 4 times, was popular. College was super fun. Nobody ever like super serious. Same thing, college, super fun. I have boyfriends here or there, but nobody's super serious. Just always on the borderline of me being a little reserved, and me kind of, saving myself for marriage, that kind of thing. Then getting in my 20s, same thing, that, that freedom. And then, I got really slow, right? I still have fun. I went out on dates, but just wasn't progressing to relationships. And for me, when I think about it, I think I just never really developed those relationship skills, right? Date somebody, they might get on my nerves, and then I would, move on, or just didn't really develop those communication skills. So I think that, if I think back to what I now know, I wish I'd have gotten a little bit more of that when I was younger. But that was kind of my high school, college, fun times, but definitely once I got, into my 20s and 30s, got a little slower.
Well, I want to just stop on that point because I think it's so interesting that so often we talk about, people that didn't have good relationship role models, didn't learn healthy relationship skills. And here you are saying your parents were the paragon of good parents with a good marriage. And yet, due to a confluence of circumstances, or maybe the fact that parents just don't know that we're not absorbing this stuff. They think we go to church, we see good examples, we know what good values are. Save yourself for marriage, be a good girl, do this, do that. That we learn how to be in a good relationship. And I think that's the chasm that most parents don't think about. Like we think about we're teaching them all these things, but are we really? And I love that you just said that. It's like you were sort of left to figure it out on your own. Like you knew what your end game could be, but you didn't know how to get there.
Yeah, exactly.
And if somebody wasn't perfect, and you're like, okay, peace out, let's go on. I'm gonna find the next one.
Very, very good at that.
So now you're in your 30s, and couple of things happened to you in your 30s.
I mean, I think it just, it gets more competitive in your 30s, right? Because then everyone around you has that aspiration to be married. So it's competitive, but then you're also in your career, right? So maybe a little bit too much focus there. And then just at that point, not super old, but also a little set in my ways, right? Like, this didn't happen on that date, or this person didn't communicate with me like that, or oh, this person took me to a terrible restaurant, not the one, just silly things, but also just combined with a little bit of being stuck in my ways. So my 30s were not very productive from a dating perspective at all, but again, I was still young, still having a decent time on my own, but still that desire was there. That was also of my close friends. I have a couple of really close circles of friends. All of my friends were married, right? So that that longing was there, and that desire was there. It was all around me, but kind of being this single person in my group of married friends always sucked.
It always sucked, right? And I know when we were doing the prep for this, I love that you said a few scenarios shook me out of my outdated thinking. And so one of them you made mention of is a dear friend of yours that was a guy was basically like, it's competitive out there, so you need to show some interest in men.
Oh, I was so annoyed with him too. It's like, you just can't stand around here, you need to be out there, kind of pushing me. And I was so annoyed with him because it was so deeply ingrained with me that, like, no, the guy has to be the person that reaches out. The guy has to be the one that says hello, or just the guy has to take all of the initiative. And I think that was one of the things that I want, maybe I learned during our time together working, like, no, that doesn't necessarily have to be the case, right?
No, we're going to get off the
We're
sidelines
gonna get
just
off the
like we
sidelines.
are in every aspect of our lives as strong, smart, successful women. It's like, I'm not going to sit in the
Absolutely.
passenger seat of my own car. I'm going to get in the driver's seat. And in dating, it is no different. And I know people sometimes, especially when we're raised with this traditional masculine, feminine gender, I wouldn't even say gender roles, but how things should roll out in dating. The man should
Absolutely.
always make the first move. You know, I had a client once very early on when I first started, and she said to me, well, I don't want to go out on a second date with this guy. And I said to her, why not? And she said, he did not. He let me walk on the curbside. And I said, what does that mean? Clearly, I wasn't raised with this. And I said, what do you mean? She says, my father was very traditional, very conservative, Christian values, and a woman never walked on the curbside. This man let me walk on the curbside. I said, okay, love that. If I didn't know this, most guys aren't going to know this. This is not a red flag. And she's like, it's not. I'm like, no, it's a nice to have, but it doesn't mean somebody is a red flagger. So, to your point, the things that we're raised with in these messages can have a profound impact in what we think red flags versus green flags are. So we're here to steady that ship going, nope, you can send an email first. Nope, you can smile and say hello to somebody. Right? Men, most the men that we coach all the time will tell me, I'm not going to walk up to a woman who's not giving me a sign. Look up. Make eye contact,
Make eye
smile,
contact,
say,
smile.
I'm not going to punch you in the face if you walk up to me. Look receptive. I'm not saying you need to be so bold as to be the person who's going to go up and make the first move, but if you do, hell, I'm here for all of it. But give the person a sign, right? And if we're not taught that, most of us are not taught that, right?
No.
We sit down, we wait in the corner and wonder, why isn't anybody talking to me? Why do people think I'm standoffish?
Exactly. And even why am I standoffish, right? It can th those relationship those communication and relationship skills that I just did not develop early on. I remember, closer to 40, I don't know if I was working with you or not, but one of my girlfriends set me up, introduced me to one of her coworkers. Super nice guy. Oh my God, super nice guy. And I thought we hit it off. It was long distance. I thought we hit it off. But he told my girlfriend, he's like, I just don't think she's interested. And I was like, really? Because I was interested, right? But just my natural way of being, or kind of being stuck in my ways, I didn't see that, right? Or I didn't make any additional effort to let this guy know that I was interested. And so, but again, I also shrugged it off, like, oh well, just arrogant, right?
Right. Well, you know what? He ain't man enough,
He's
so who cares, right?
right,
So,
right.
and I remember one of the things that we were laughing about just now as we were prepping is I was going back in my camera and we were looking at some videos that I did of you in person in our meeting that helped you to understand what might the standoffish look
Yeah.
like? Because
Yeah.
you are not
Yeah.
a standoffish
Yeah.
person, but
Yeah.
a lot of times we don't get the guidance on what we're projecting out there. So when I read that, when you told me that, I'm like, I got a cure for this. I'm not going to tell you right up front what we're doing. And really adjusting your body language to have better eye contact, better countenance on your face, which is achieved by smiling. And we did some videos, and you were like, this is brutal to watch, but now I get it. And so, with dating, it's all of these things, ladies and gentlemen. It's not like there's one tip, one thing. It's like, I always say, I'm not an automotive person. I don't know. Well, all I know is I put my foot on the brake, I press start on my car, and a whole bunch of stuff happens in the engine that lets me reverse my car out of my driveway and drive to where I need to go. Dating is very much like the same thing. So we're learning a lot of things at the right time, and then doing all of those things at the right time, which then leads to different results. So now back up. You and I met on a lark when I was doing a speaking event for a friend of mine that came into town.
I think it was right around the time when I was turning 40, right? So that milestone, like, oh my goodness, time is clock is ticking, all of that. So I really started reading books and just trying to get some external advice. And I came across Paul Carrick Brunson's book. I love that book, his first book from 15 years ago. He was speaking, was it on the Oprah show? It was at
It
the
was
Oprah.
at the Oprah
It was at the
studio.
studio. Yeah, it
It
was
was
at the
at Harpo.
studio. Yeah, he had an event on dating. And I was like, oh, this is great. Enjoy being there. But then there was just this bright smile on the stage, so warm, so enthusiastic. I was like, oh, yep, I have to reach out to her. Because yeah, he made such an impression on me in that scenario. And it was the time I really, they say when the student is ready, the teacher will appear. So that was really one of those perfect moments of being introduced to you. And yeah, here we are. But that was a
Wow.
really good book. And that was one of those books that started to pull me out of like, nope, you got to do something different,
You got to do something different. And that's so perfect because it's like you could choose to just stay and do the same thing over and over again and wish for different results. But when you want change, you have to change. You have to change how you're thinking. You have to change what you're doing. And it's not as simple as putting on a beautiful shade of lipstick and then being the same person you were this morning, right? There's a lot more to it, and it begins in the mind.
1,000%.
So you and I meet, you start our process, you get trained, we meet you at the Four Seasons, we teach you how to find elevator people, right? And you, when we did that exercise with you, we asked you who your dream guy was, and I'm sure he was, 6 feet tall and handsome and, I don't know, looked like Idris Elba. I can't remember exactly what the list was, but your elevator people all shared some things in common. If you think about your own elevator people, the people that make you happiest and elevate you, what traits do they share in common? Right? I remember some of yours. I can bang them out.
That's such a great question. And like I said, just recently married, so just had all of my elevator people around me, right? Or around us. And just people that are just super supportive, su super supportive of my dreams, my goals, the person that I'm trying to be, those people that will love me, love me tough sometimes, but also be great cheerleaders of mine, people that will share their life with me. So I think one of my elevator people, is that friend that introduced me to that guy, someone who's genuinely invested and will share themselves with me. So yeah, those are some of the characteristics.
Well, and I know you tried the apps. We did our rounds on the apps. We tried Match. We tried some other things. And, for those of you that think it's got to happen quick, 2013 rolled by, 2014 rolled by, but now 2015 comes along. What happened?
I think to what you said earlier, like it was doing the work, right? And to get ready. So maybe when we met in 2013, that was just the starter,
It was a
and
starter. You
there
got
was
it.
mindset work. We've talked about this, but I wasn't feeling like in the best shape of my life, so I started working on my fitness.
We had the
I
same
think,
trainer.
yeah, same trainer. I think I was also, because you were like, I do some career coaching too, but I think I was also like in a season with my career, like building. So it was a process, and I do remember, like 2015, 2014, 2015, really starting to like finally feel like myself, like feel really good. Putting
Yes.
all the things that, we talked about into practice of, just getting out there, enjoying myself, enjoying dating. I think that was one of the biggest lessons for me, right? I was really literally just starting to enjoy dating. Like, oh, okay, this doesn't have to be the one. I'm meeting interesting people, so that's 2015. And you and I had a conversation. I don't know, I was trying to remember where it was, but I remember, you looking at me and smiling, and you were like, you are ready. And I was like, oh, okay, and I can't
You
remember
are
if this was
ready.
before, like, Anthony and I were sneaking in each other's DMs or not, but yeah, 2015 was the year.
So Monica and I coached for a long time, and like you're saying, around dating and relationships and personal effectiveness and career coaching. And I remember we were on a walk and we went down to Lincoln Park Zoo, and now at this point, let's bring the listeners up to speed. You had reconnected with Anthony at this point, right? And you were bringing me up to speed on this guy that you dated in high school and how you were like, wow, but it's long distance. And now I've had plenty of clients connect with with high school reunion people, and it works out. And I've had just as many that have reconnected with high school people that should have stayed exes, even as we were adults. So I know for me, it was very much a slow, like, let's walk through this and let's see, is he going to be an elevator person for you? How will you surmount the distance? Are there red flags? Most importantly, long distance, and I will tell any of you listening, and I told Monica this, long distance is fine as long as there is a plan to get to the same place.
I think I don't know, honestly, I don't know if when we took that walk that there was a plan, but he was so clear in his intention. We got together on Memorial Day, or Memorial Day weekend of 2025, or we reconnected.
2015.
2015. What did I just say? 25? Yeah.
25.
This
You
year.
got married in
I got
25. It's all
married
good.
Memorial Day of 25, but Memorial Day of 2015. And a couple of weeks after that, I was in Atlanta and saw him. I'd already had plans to be in Atlanta, but I was really going then. And a couple of weeks after that, he had an opportunity to come back to Chicago. And so we really started seeing each other every month, if not twice a month, if things were going really, really well, we were missing each other. But he was so clear in his intent, and you always said, like, someone will show you learn through their actions. And he just continued to show me, right? He was all in it. He was in it to win it. And I'm still trying to enjoy dating at the time. I was like, well, this is going good, but I'm still trying to enjoy dating. But he was so very clear in his intention.
And he was consistent and
Consistent.
persistent. So as much as I wanted you to keep that dating funnel open, you all know me, cautiously optimistic, like, okay, that's great that he's in Atlanta. Let's keep dating on the apps. Let's keep meeting people. And my strategy is simply a hedge strategy. As a former finance professional, if you have
multiple options in the fire, and one doesn't work out, even if it's your chief leader, the one you like the best, if you've got a couple more, it doesn't hurt as much because you still feel hopeful and you're not starting from scratch.
Absolutely. The other, really interesting thing that you said to me during that walk is, could you be with someone for a while without getting married, right? And like you said, start the process. I remember all of my delusions. Like, I want to get married. I want to start this process. And then I want to meet somebody in 6 months and be married 6 months later.
That's what you told me when we
That's what
started.
I told you when I started. I'm not saying that's delusional, but that was quite delusional. But I also know that, that I changed because on that walk, he said, could you be with someone, for a while without, without getting married, without the pressure of getting married? And, with Anthony, for him, I was like, right. And, this year, we're together 10 years. We just got married in 2025.
I
So,
love it. And he's here.
and
He
he's
lives
here.
here.
So, and I have zero regrets about, the time that we took. Zero.
Zero. And instead of 6 months, it ended up being a little longer, like 10 years. And that's okay. When you meet the right person, everything shifts, right? And as long as they're an elevator person and they have no red flags and you become better together.
Absolutely. And we absolutely have, over these past 10 years.
Oh my gosh. And would you say he's your number one elevator person?
He is my elevator person. When you brought that back up, I was like, wow, because he's so supportive. Just this morning, right? This ridiculous snow that we had. Yes, when we woke up, he's like, "What time are you leaving to go to work?" And I was like, not sure." And I'm thinking he's asking for some other reason, but I'm like, no, he's asking so he can go out and clear the snow off the car and make sure that it's warm and, top off some fluid. Like, oh, who does that anymore?
Keep him.
He's a lot. He's locked in now. So, and just, again, really supportive of everything that I do.
And what was it like when he actually popped the question? Were you floored?
Was I floored? Like him, the popping the question, like it's not a big grand story. So I don't think I was floored. I was surprised. I was surprised because we actually hadn't been talking about it very much, at all. We were just, we were in a good place. So I was surprised. And if I'm honest, I wasn't like 1,000% ready because I opened a business. So one of the ways, he's super supportive. Like he sat alongside me this entrepreneurship journey that I started, 5, 6 years ago. So I was in a very difficult season in my business. So I wasn't thinking about very much else than that. So I think I was surprised and maybe not a little ready because all of my energy was kind of tied up there. But, again, he was patient to let me kind of get through that season.
I love that. He's a good man. And you guys will see all the beautiful pictures of this beautiful couple. And you never know when love is going to come to you and how it's going to come to you. But kudos to you for saying, I need to do something different. And then doing something different
And
and
doing
being
something.
so coachable and taking the coaching. And, you know, if you had to give a listener that feels like they were you, what would you tell them?
Gosh, I would tell them, get the support, right? Because it can come from your friends, but get the support. And even people really, really do want to support you, like in all aspects of life. I've really come to know that in the last couple of years. People really, really do want to support you in your goals and dreams. So don't be shy about getting the support. Don't be shy about making the change. And don't be shy about, really being introspective. Like, again, I had to realize, like, oh, yep, me, like, not having these communication skills, right? It's not always that other person. Like, I've got work to do. So.
And what I'm also hearing and listening to you, you aren't afraid to invest in yourself and the things you want in your dreams. You needed help with dating. You went to a dating event. You found yourself the best dating coach. Just
The
kidding.
best ever
The
to
best.
do
You,
it.
you and you did that. You wanted to try the entrepreneurial journey. You made a lot of investments in that. Right. And so it's commendable. And I wish more people did this versus, stuff is one thing. And I'm not bagging on, having a closet full of beautiful handbags or really expensive clothes. But I feel the real meter in my own life and what I'm hearing from you, it's like the meters of our lives are really pushed forward when we're investing in ourselves and becoming better.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And becoming better and feeling better, because there's all the work, there's all the things that I learned from you, but there's, I also believe there's a big part of it that I got to the point, it's like, I feel better, and that's attractive, right? That's magnetic. That's when I started enjoying dating, right? And I tell, Anthony and I laugh sometimes, like, oh, we wish we'd gotten back together when we were in our 30s. I was like, no, I was a little bit of a bitch then, so wouldn't have worked, right?
I
Like,
was in my unapproachable phase.
right. It was in my unapproachable, awful phase, So I'm glad that we met when we did, because I was open, right?
Well, thank you for choosing me. And thank you for walking this journey. And I couldn't be more overjoyed for you with this amazing love story that you have and all the work that you've done on yourself. It has clearly paid off.
Well, thank you for hanging in there with me, and thank you for your, you call yourself psychotically optimistic, but that really rubs off, right? Like, you're like, yep, I can do this.
You're ready, girl. You're ready.
So thank you for being psychotically optimistic always, always.
And I always will be for you. Well, I'm very happy that you were my client and are now my friend. And thank you for telling this inspiring story to anybody who's listening out there. When you feel like, man, something's got to give. I want this journey to look different. You're worth it. Whatever that looks like for you, whatever that feels like for you and your soul, you'll know. And then go do that.
Absolutely.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, if you are as inspired by this as I am, I hope you'll share this amazing episode with your friends and give them some inspiration. And remember, the holidays are, by the time you're listening to this, the holidays will be upon us and peak dating season. We're probably right smack in the middle
Go
of
to the
it.
holiday parties, flirt with the guys.
Exactly, exactly. Go stand under the mistletoe. Give that signal that you're open and receptive and talk to people. Be friendly. Put that smile on your face. And if that's still not working, where to find us. Go to Smart Dating Academy. Shoot me a note. I will help you 100%.
1,000%.
Oh, well, Monica, thank you so much for being so amazing and for coming on and telling your story. And dear listener, I wish to you a week of transformation and love, and ask yourself, how am I doing and what can I do differently to be better this week? And with that, thank you again, and we will see you when we drop the next episode.
Thanks for listening. And as always, download us, share us, show us the love. Follow Instagram at Smart Dating Academy. And if you or someone you know wants to learn more, check out our website at smartdatingacademy.com. We're here to bring you love.